Thank you for picking a rather simple memory verse. Even I can remember by tomorrow. When you get older, let me tell you, your short-term memory is gone, so unfortunately. Well, how many of us are Christians? Can you raise your hand? Okay, all right, very good, very good. A lot of you know that my son, John, he plays lacrosse, and he is up at a school called Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, RPI. And the school itself is not a traditional power in lacrosse. They're Division III. They're not Division I, but they're Division III. For some reason, the coach got lucky. He had a good recruiting class last year, and he also had another good recruiting class this year. So the team did well, but unfortunately, it ended yesterday. So my 2010 lacrosse odyssey is over. Auntie Lucy and I, or I should say me and Auntie Lucy, we put over 3,000 miles, 5,000 miles on our car, okay, within the last 2.5 months. Because RPI is near Albany, it's 165 miles one way. So when we go up there, it's 330 whatever miles, okay? My math is not that good. Anyway, 330 miles round trip. And my old bones and my joints are like kind of like can't take it anymore. So they ended the season 14-3. They won 14 games, they lost 3 games. So that's 17 games. So now a lot of them, some of them are away games, so they could be further away. We went all the way up to Hamilton, New York. They play in leagues, right? So the league has 7 teams. The school's like Vasa, which you might have heard of, Skidmore, Hamilton, Union College, and things like that. So they were the champions of the Liberty League. So they were got an automatic bid into the NCAA Division III tournament. They were the number 3 seed. You know, Division III, not Division I. But anyway, it's still good. So yesterday they played Middlebury and they got smoked. They lost like 16-8. So in Chinese, you know, there's another mountain higher than your mountain. I mentioned this because May 1st, that day, they had a night game with their arch rival, crosstown rival, called Union College. And it's a night game, so John wanted to have a brunch with us, and then he would go and practice with the team. So we went up there early, and then he went off to be with the team, and by the time we had dinner, and we came back to the stadium, the boys were warming up. As they warm up, they like to play music, right? You all know that in sports, they play music. So as I was walking along the track, listening to the music, they are playing the song, Forever Young. You familiar with the song? You like the song? Huh? No? I like the song, okay? I like the song. The melody is good, okay? There's a clean version, there's a not so clean version, because after I came back, I Googled it. And the chorus says, Forever Young. I want to be forever young. Do you really want to live forever, forever, forever? Now that's the chorus. Forever young, I want to be forever young. Do you want to live forever? So as I walk along the track, working off my dinner, I started thinking, do I want to be forever young? The first impulse, yeah, sure, why not, right? It's great to be young, it's a lot of fun. I don't know, you guys don't seem like you want to be forever young. Come on, young guys, do you want to be forever young? Yeah, huh?
Yes, we do.
We do, right? We do. You know, it's like, you're full of energy, you have a lot of friends, you hang out, you have a good time, okay? Why not? I mean, I would want to be forever young. Well, on second thought, maybe not, because you have to take tests. I had enough tests, okay? I had enough disappointments with friends, with relationships with looking for the stress of like getting into college, the stress of my professor not happy with my research. Let me tell you, after I graduated and got my degree, I still had dreams with my professor that my results in the lab were no good. Until maybe in my 40s, I have dreams. I can do without that. Okay? So, forever young, do I want to be forever young? I would say maybe. Maybe. Do I really want to live forever? You want to live forever? Yeah, when the times are good, right? When times are good, yeah, when you're having fun, when things are going your way, you want to live forever and enjoy it, okay? You know, to be with friends, and if money is no object, you can go on vacation, go sushi, buffets, do whatever you want, you know, birthday parties, live forever. But when time's tough, you know, when time's tough, you don't really, you know, when you get sick, right? When you're sick, you're ill, that's not for you. You know, Pastor Chen, you know, just ran into him this morning. He says, don't get old. Because when you get old, all you do is you see doctors. Monday you see this doctor. Tuesday you see another doctor. Wednesday you see another doctor. If life's like that, I don't want to live forever. But you know, regardless, whether you want to be forever young, you want to, whether you want to or not, it's irrelevant, right? You can't. You know, I was looking through my photo albums, which I never go to my photo albums, but one of my best friends in college had a birthday party, and his family was giving him a birthday party, so I had to look for a picture, right? And when I opened up my photo album, I was shocked to find that, you know, not too long ago I had a mop of hair on my head. I don't anymore, and that's not a good feeling. You know, I look in the mirror. That's not a good feeling. I mean, that's the fact, right? I cannot be forever young. It's irrelevant. And even if I want to live forever, I can't. I can't live forever. Anything wrong with what I just said? What's wrong with what I just said? We can, we will. You know, what I've been telling you for the last 5 minutes is how the world sees things, how the world sees life, how the world sees our own being here on earth. No, that's not the only thing. That's not the only thing, okay? Yeah, you know, the world puts all the eggs in one basket, our life here on earth. But our life is destined to end one day. It will end one day, whether you like it or not. You know, modern science and technology and medical science, they can extend a person's life for a few years. But that's nothing to compare with eternity. Okay, listen to what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. Verse 1. Chapter 10. I tell you the truth. Verse 7. He said again. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. And what's the truth? I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So, Jesus' focus is not on the physical body, but on our spiritual life. A body wastes away, destined to pass away, but the spirit remains. So when your physical body is gone, where does your spirit? Where is your spirit? Hebrew 12. It talked about Mount Zion. It talked about Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands and thousands of angels in joyful assembly, You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. We have maybe 45, 50 people here. We have a good assembly. Can you imagine one day in heaven you are with thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly? Let's not just focus on the physical aspect of our life, but let's be cognizant of the spirit that would live forever. Revelation 21, it talked about the holy city. It talked about the new Jerusalem coming out of the heaven from God. And it says, God will live with them. God will live with them. And God himself will be with them. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more death. There will be no more crying or pain. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. That is the thing we should be focused on. Our spirit that one day will be with God. So what does Jesus have to say about that? Again, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Twice he said, I tell you the truth. You know, but unfortunately, these days, we don't care about the truth. You know that? America, where we are right now, I'm not talking about Hong Kong, China. America, the society, we don't care about the truth. You know, it's very interesting. Americans tend to believe whatever they're told. We're the smartest. I can say that we're the smartest, okay, as a country in the world. But we believe anything we're told. Now, you know about the oil spill in the Gulf, right, don't you? Who doesn't know that? Nobody, right? Everybody knows? There's a big oil spill in the Gulf. And that happened about three weeks ago, okay? And at first, the newspaper said, the oil spill is at the rate of 5,000 gallons a day. Now, 5,000 gallons, a milk bottle, right? That's a gallon, right? A milk jug is a gallon. So 5,000 of that, not a big deal. Okay? I mean, that's bad, you know, environmentally, but still, it's only 5,000. So after 3 weeks, yesterday, when I looked on at the news account, right, because they released a photograph, okay, a 30-second photograph of the actual pipe and the oil and the gas gushing out, now they're saying it could be as much as 80,000 barrels of oil a day. I have no idea what barrel is, so I try to find out. A barrel is about 40 gallons. 40 gallons. So they're now saying that the spill could be 80,000 barrels a day, which would make it 3,200,000 gallons. Now, one day they're telling us 5,000, when we believe it. Now they're telling us that it could be 3 million gallons a day, which is true. You know, unfortunately, truth really doesn't matter to us. All we care about is what we do today. But Jesus is telling you, I tell you the truth, and it's up to you to believe or not believe. And that's your choice. Jesus said again, I will tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the gate for the sheep. Jesus is saying that I am the Messiah. And the Old Testament prophesies my coming, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Jerusalem, coming out of Egypt. All these prophecies, I am the gate. And whoever enters through me will be saved. So it's not like a building. It's not like the sheepfold, right? An actual door. You all know about my cat that I adopted, Auntie Lucy and I adopted, Shadow. He came through the house, right? He came through a door into the house. But that's not how he's saved. Because I truly believe if he were out there in the winter time, he would have died by now. He would have been dead by now. Okay. But for some reason, he chose not the house. He had no idea how big is the house, what kind of house, but he chose Auntie Lucy as his master. He chose that. He comes back, he keeps coming back. It's not the house. The house is not the attraction. But rather, he knows Auntie Lucy gives him food, protects him, take care of him. So he keeps coming back. So eventually, Auntie Lucy relented and said, all right, I'll take this cat in. So the gate is not something physical. There's something you do through your work, through your successes in life. The gate is set by faith. You believe that Christ is your Savior. It's through our faith in Christ Himself that we can enter through this and we could be saved. And it's a very narrow gate. Right? What we read in the scripture, Matthew 7, 13, 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that brings to destruction. And many people went through it. Many people went through the wide gate. It's not popular to be sitting here today. You know, I see my own children, when they go out to college, they just go with the world. Oh, they're not cool. People go to church, not cool. People who go to Bible study group, they're not cool. That's what the world wants you to think. That's what the world wants to lead you to. Many people go for to have parties, to enjoy. But rather, you need to know what is the truth. One of the students came over to church. She was with two other people, and they were asking us to sign petitions. They were objecting to a pier in New York City being developed for commercial uses. They said, well, the pier should be for the neighborhood, for Chinese, for anybody with family, go and enjoy. So they were trying to get me to sign, and I said, well, you know, I live in New Jersey, so I don't think it matters because I'm not from the neighborhood. Then Auntie Lucy asked them a question. Auntie Lucy says, where is this pier? They had no clue. They didn't know. They started looking at the map. They said, where is it? Near Chinatown? Is it not near Chinatown? Where is it? You gotta know what's the truth before you sign on and do something. Not that everybody said, oh, this is the thing to do. You know, this is all the Chinatown associations are against it, so you're against it. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. And it is up to you to accept the truth or to ignore it. So a lot of times we want to be with the majority. It feels good with a lot of people. But unfortunately, sometimes the truth is with a narrow gate. And only a few find it. You know, being a Christian is not easy. When you accept Christ, right? It's not just, oh, I believe in Christ and I'm saved. In the after school program, we have another student. He is now a graduate student at Brooklyn College, which is part of the City University of New York system. And he's a good brother. I talked to him. Because he's a history major, so I would bring up certain subjects, which is more like sports oriented or newsworthy. He would bring up other subjects. Okay, he would recently, all of a sudden, he talked about Stephen Ambrose. I think some of the older people know about Stephen Ambrose. No? He was the famous biographer for Eisenhower. And he found out that he may have fabricated a lot of things. So another subject he brought up is Felix. He said, what's wrong with speaking foul language? What's wrong with speaking foul language? Now, be honest, who has spoken foul language? Okay, more than I thought. All right? Now, for those who didn't raise their hand, who has spoken foul language in your heart, inside, without speaking, but thinking about it? Why, am I the only one? So when you talk with history students, you know, sometimes science students with engineering, we are kind of, you know, not at a disadvantage. So I said, well, again, no, it's not good to speak foul language. He says, why? What's wrong with that? I said, you know, you have other words to substitute, right? You don't have to use that language. Well, I made a mistake. He says, well, the thought is there already. What's the difference? It's true. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't use foul language. Okay? I don't even speak it in my heart. When a car cuts me off, I get upset and I'm like, oh, hey, I wish you would get in a crash. You've already done it already. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's what's inside. It's not what you say. It's what's inside. Even if you don't speak foul language, if you think about the thought, you're with them. It's not easy. It's not easy. But that's what Jesus says. It's a narrow gate. It's not a lot of people who can find it. But for those who enter through me, they will be saved. So he said, whoever enters through me will be saved. He would come in, go out, and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If we are in Christ, we have his protection. We are saved. You know, these days, things are very unsettled. And I'm kind of nervous because of the economic crisis last year in America. Now it's in Europe with Greece, if you're not aware. Okay? And it's spreading and it's still simmering. It's still under the surface. And we don't know what the future holds. Right? And with the volcano, you know about the volcano in Iceland, right? Right? You heard about the volcano in Iceland that's spewing. You know, and affecting plane traffic to Europe. You wouldn't imagine a little volcano would affect the commerce of the world. There's so many things we don't know. We think we know a lot. We're very smart, but there's so many things that we don't know. So it's really, really unsettling. But the thought is. If we're in Christ, if he is our shepherd and we are his sheep, we can come in and go out and find pasture. He's going to protect us. He's going to protect our spirit, okay, that we don't have to be worried about danger. But if we're away from him, then that's where the trouble comes, right? So if we're with him, we can have life to the full, to have life more abundantly, because we have God with us in our daily life. Not only that, he's the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He died for us because he loved us. Only a sheep can experience that, because I can imagine my cat, Shadow. Once he came into the house, he knows we are his master. He knows that he is safe with us. So wherever we are, if we're downstairs, he's downstairs. If we're upstairs, he's upstairs. If he's upstairs with me and I'm on the computer, if I go downstairs for like 5 minutes, he's down. He could be sleeping like a log, but within 5 minutes, if I'm not there, he's down looking for me. And that's what a sheep needs to do. So after you have accepted Christ, that's what you need to do. You need to be with Christ, because you can come in and go out and find pasture with him. Without him, you're in danger. But you need to recognize that he is your master, and he loves you, and he died for you. There are really a lot of dangers in this world that you might not recognize. Another story I want to tell you. You're not going to hear these stories at home, okay? I'm not sure you're hearing in the school. I was buying Changfen, what is it in English? Huh? You know what Changfen is, right? Dim sum stuff, you know? So I bought it, I was eating in the little store in Chinatown, and a grandma came in and talked to the lady selling it. And she says, yeah, this is for my prince, my little prince. So I started, I listen. She says, yeah, the little prince, he comes home, he says, oh, and the lady who sold the Changfen says, is that for his dinner? Because this was about 3 o'clock. No, she says, that's not for his dinner. He comes home and he closed the door. The lady says, where is this for? The grandma says, oh, maybe like 3 o'clock in the morning when he gets up. He's done playing video games. The kid comes home, closes the door, get on his computer, play video games all night. Until 3 o'clock, he gets hungry, he goes out and looks for the Changfen to eat. It's actual, right? It's actual. So the grandma said, yeah, sometimes like 9 o'clock, I knock on his door, want him to go to school. He didn't open his door. That's the reality. That's the reality in life, okay? That you just don't say, well, it won't happen to me. If you're not careful, it'll happen to you. It'll happen to you. So many of these kids that come to the after-school program, unfortunately, mostly boys, they had been here 5, 6 years, and they couldn't learn any English. I asked them, what did you spend your time on? Video games. It's all the video games. A lot of danger lurks around us, and we have to be careful to know who is the stranger and who is the shepherd. It's not any ordinary shepherd that we listen to. It's the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. So what does the sheep do? The sheep listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. What does that mean? Well, let me just tell you. My cat. Most of the time, he listens to us. We talk to him. He listens. He knows our voice. Okay? When we come home, he comes out. Wherever he is, he could be upstairs, he could be sleeping, he hears the garage door open, he gets up in the kitchen waiting for us. If a stranger comes, he runs away, he hides. When Uncle Walter, Yan Da Ge, because when we are away, right, we ask Uncle Walter to come feed the cat, he couldn't find the cat. The cat hides. You know, any noise, okay, he hears. Like if someone comes visit us, he could tell it's a stranger's voice, and he scurries upstairs and hides himself. But when Lucy and I would come home, okay, he hears it. He comes out. Now, don't ask me how, right? But you can figure out if it's your master's voice, if you truly believe Jesus is your master, God is your master, we are his children. Somehow, some way, you'll find a voice. You'll hear the voice. And that's how the cat, being submissive, the cat is totally reliant on us. It doesn't know how to move things. If he wants to sleep in a certain place, if there's stuff around there, he has no way of moving it. Okay? And we have to clear the space for him and let him sleep there. A cat, an animal, is totally reliant, a dog is totally reliant on the master. And unfortunately, a lot of times we don't do that. We can do it. We don't really rely on God. But we need to. Because if you rely on God, then you're going to listen to him. You're going to hear his voice. You're going to listen to his voice, and you're going to know his voice. And you're going to follow him. You're going to follow him. It is a lifelong experience to follow Christ. It is by experience, it's by learning from failures, it's by learning from successes in serving Him. It's a lifelong quest. But unless you're willing to accept Him, not just your Savior, not just your personal Savior, but accept Him and submit to Him being your Master and follow Him, go with what His will is, then it's going to be difficult for you to do it in the long run. Just like my kids, when they go to college, they don't go to church. They come home, they go to church. Listen to me. When they go away to college, they don't go to church. When they come home, they go to church. What does that tell you? Are they going to church for themselves, or are they going to church for the parents? So you need to decide to listen to Jesus telling you the truth. He tells you the truth. The world doesn't want to listen, has none of that. For us to decide, if we accept the truth, then we enter through Him, have eternal life. And we can go out and find pasture, then we have an abundant life. But in order to do that, we have to listen to the Good Shepherd's voice. The Good Shepherd's voice. Not just any shepherd, but the Good Shepherd. And we listen to His voice, we know His voice, and we follow Him. There's one more thing that's precious. He calls His own sheep by name. He calls His own sheep by name. You call me Uncle Felix. I wonder what name Jesus calls me with. I don't understand right now, a language that I don't understand. But He calls me with a name that He has given me. And the same thing, He has given you a special name. When I see Him that day, I may know. Hopefully He'll call me faithful. Or maybe He'll call me trustworthy. Or maybe something that represents that I have done my best. He has a special name for each one of us. And that's precious. And that's very, very precious. Because He loves us. The Good Shepherd. Forever young. I want to be forever young. We can be forever young. Our spirit. How old is your spirit? You can't. You know, there's no definition. How old is your spirit? In God's eye, we're all His children. And time, there's no time in God. So we can be forever young. Do you really want to live forever? It's up to you. You can live forever. Your spirit can live forever. But whether you can live forever or not, it's up to you. If you enter through the gate, the narrow gate, you will be safe. And then your spirit will live forever in His presence. Thousands and thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And that's wonderful. So I look toward another 2011 La Crosse Odyssey, and hopefully I'll hear another good song that I can share with you.